Congregation, let me begin by wishing you on behalf of myself and my dear wife God's richest blessing in the year 2023. As I've often said, we need the happiness that God's Word speaks us. Many have begun this new year wishing each other a happy new year. But congregation, you know, there is no real happiness apart from God. Happy is he alone that has the God of Jacob for his help. All the happiness that this world promises, all that happiness is but an illusion. It is but a soap bubble. But if God is our portion, if the God of Jacob is our portion, then we know what real happiness is. A happiness that is not dependent on the happenings of this life. Then we can face the unknown future, the year 2023. So with God's help, I want to begin this year by considering Psalm 23 in its entirety. When I began to preach for you regularly in 2015, Psalm 23 was the first series of sermons that I did in your midst. And at that time, I expounded Psalm 23 verse by verse. This morning, when I will address you for the last time as your pastor on New Year's Day, I want to look at that psalm one more time, but this time I want to view the psalm in its entirety. To put it differently, to give you an analogy, in 2015, we used the zoom lens approach. That means we zoomed in on each individual verse and expounded it for you. Today, we will use the wide-angle approach, and we will look at the psalm, this precious psalm, in its entirety. And so, I will not read the psalm again. We are very familiar with its contents. We just read it, except that let me just read verse 1 and 6, the opening verse and the summary of the entire psalm. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And then the psalm ends by saying, "Surely, because of that, surely, goodness, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so with God's help, we want to focus on the shepherd of his sheep. And each verse has its own theme. I tried to capture it in the points that you also find in your bulletin. First of all, a committed shepherd. Verse 1, "I shall not want." Secondly, a providing shepherd. Verse 2. Thirdly, a guiding shepherd. Verse 3. Fourthly, a protecting shepherd. In verse 4, when our way leads through the valley of the shadow of death. Then a generous shepherd in verse 5, who prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And finally, a preserving shepherd, who is committed to ultimately bring his sheep home, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so let's begin by considering the shepherd of the sheep as a committed shepherd. As you know, this psalm has rightly been called the Shepherd's Psalm because it was written by a man who grew up being a shepherd of sheep, and later he became the shepherd king of the people of Israel. And all commentators are agreed that David wrote this psalm very likely towards the end of his life. When he looked back over his whole life, when he reflected on all that he had been through, and when he was utterly amazed at God's astonishing care, when he realized that God had cared for him as faithfully and as consistently as he had cared for his sheep when he took care of the sheep entrusted to him. And we need to understand, congregation, that a shepherd in Israel was a very special man. A shepherd was not merely somebody who happened to look after some livestock. You could say that a shepherd in Israel was totally one with his flock. His whole identity as a shepherd was wrapped up in his sheep. He loved his sheep deeply. He cared for his sheep deeply. He provided for his sheep. And his sheep would be very attached to their shepherd. So attached that they would never mistakenly follow another shepherd, because they would be so intimately acquainted with their shepherd, they would know the voice of the shepherd. I've been told that in those days, shepherds would often come to a common watering hole. They would come to a common well in order to provide drink for their sheep, and all the sheep would mingle of these various flocks. But then when it was time to leave, the shepherd would just walk away. And as he walked away, he would call out their names. He knew his sheep. He knew them all by name. And he would walk away and call their names. And the sheep would know the voice of their shepherd, and they would follow him. A very special relationship. The shepherd, he spent day and night with his sheep. And he was so committed to his sheep that he would give his life for his sheep. We know that David risked his life when a lion and a bear attacked his sheep and he killed them with his bare hands. So much he loved his sheep. And when David looks back on his life, he realizes that God has been his shepherd, that God has cared for him. And that's why he begins with this wonderful confession of faith, this wonderful confession of the amazing commitment of love that he has observed in his lifetime. And so he begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And as you see, congregation, we have that wonderful name of God in capital letters, that name Lord, that name Jehovah. That name which so reveals the character of God, so unveils the heart of God. The God of salvation, the God of redemption. Oh, that amazing name. That name above every other name in the Old Testament. That name that testifies of his character, that testifies of his faithfulness. That name that testifies of his amazing grace. That name that testifies of his unwavering commitment to his people as the God who is the I am that I am, and a God who will never, never forsake the work of his own hands. As you know, throughout my time here, I've often reminded you of this. I've often told you this is God's gospel name. The whole gospel flows out of that name. And ultimately, in the fullness of time, it was Jehovah who came into this world in the person of his Son. And that's why the Lord Jesus, as we just read from John 10, time and again, identified himself, revealed himself as the I am. And he said it so plainly. I am the good shepherd. And so by virtue of what he says in John 10, we may legitimately read this psalm with him in mind. And ultimately, it is God in Christ who is the shepherd of his sheep, who is the shepherd of his people. Because as you know, all of God's dealing with man are always in and through his only begotten Son. And so it was Christ who was also the shepherd of David. It is Christ who is the ultimate shepherd of his sheep. He is the great shepherd. And the New Testament bears abundant witness to this. Not only do we have John 10, verse 11, which I just quoted, but where it says, I am the good shepherd. And then he says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Hebrews 13, verse 20, the Lord Jesus is called that great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 2, verse 25, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And then in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. What's beautiful about those passages that I just quoted is how that matches actually the sequence of the Psalms here, 22, 23, and 24. Because those three congregations, they belong inseparably together. Because in Psalm 22, there we see a prophecy how that this shepherd would give his life for the sheep. Then in Psalm 23, we see how that shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, how he cares for the sheep for whom he gave his life. And in Psalm 24, we see how that chief shepherd, as Peter says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, how that shepherd who shepherds his people in this life, how that shepherd will come again in glory and ultimately bring all of his sheep to be with himself and to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24, they form a wonderful trio. It has been said, and again, this is not original with me, but it's very helpful. In Psalm 22, we see the cross of the shepherd. In Psalm 23, the crook of the shepherd or his staff. And in Psalm 24, we have the crown of the shepherd. The cross, the crook, and the crown. And in Psalm 23 focuses on what the shepherd does for his sheep during that period that separates his first and his second coming, even until this very day. And congregation, that's our comfort for the year 2023. Because the year 2023 is ultimately, again, the year of our Lord. You know, the reason why we call it that is because the reckoning of our calendar, the reckoning of our years, is all connected to the coming of that great shepherd in the fullness of time. Because what we have just commemorated is that this shepherd of whom David speaks in Psalm 23, that shepherd became a sheep in order to save sheep, in order to give his life for the sheep. The shepherd became a sheep in order to accomplish the salvation of his sheep. So this is the one upon whom we focus in this wonderful and amazing psalm. And what a rich psalm it is. And so when I attempt to give a global overview of the psalm, I realize how superficial that will be at best. Because the riches that are found in this psalm are unspeakable. So let's just walk through it phrase by phrase. Realizing who this shepherd is, David can say boldly, that Jehovah is my shepherd. My entire life is the affirmation that he is my shepherd. And as you know, congregation, it was Luther who famously said, and I paraphrase, that the essence of true religion, I've said it here many times, the essence of true religion all boils down to personal pronouns. Personal pronouns. Because what is the comfort that David has to know not just that Jehovah is the shepherd of his people in general, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Congregation, boys and girls, can you say that this morning? There are many people today who illegitimately claim this psalm. Every time you go to a funeral home, almost without exception, you will find Psalm 23 printed on the back of the little brochures as if this were applicable to all men without exception. Of course, that's not the case, congregation. We're talking about a real saving relationship with this shepherd. To be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. It is presumptuous for ungodly people to somehow think that when they die, that God is also their shepherd. There's no such thing. This God has to become our shepherd in our lifetime. And I don't have, of course, I don't have really time to unpack this any further. But obviously, Christ said it in John 10. Not only do they know my voice, he said, but I am known of my sheep. That's what characterizes the true sheep of this shepherd. They know their shepherd. They love their shepherd. This shepherd has become precious to them. It is love for Christ, which is one of the most foundational marks of the saving work of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit of Christ does. He draws us to this shepherd. He unites us to this shepherd. He makes this shepherd precious to us. He makes this shepherd lovely to us. He works in such a way that we are irresistibly drawn to this shepherd. That we find our life in this shepherd. We find our salvation in this shepherd. So I ask you, my dear congregation, do you know this shepherd? I'm not asking you if you know of him, but do you know him personally? Do you know him experientially? In this past year, has God worked in your soul the realization that you need this shepherd to be the shepherd of your souls? Because congregation, ultimately, that's the only way you can face an unknown future. That's the blessed privilege of God's children. We don't know what this year will bring. But one thing we can say by grace, that same Jehovah of whom David speaks, that Jehovah, by the grace, by his own grace, is my shepherd. My heart is knit to that shepherd. My heart loves that shepherd. By grace, I desire to live for that shepherd. Oh, to have this shepherd to be my shepherd. That truly is the only comfort in life and death. And that enabled David to say boldly, I shall not want. That's an old way of saying, boys and girls, is therefore I shall not lack anything. And why could David say that so boldly? Because he looked over his life. And then he saw that in spite of all the trials he went through, even when Saul chased him for 16 years as an animal, he realized that God cared for him every moment, every step of the way. God provided for him. God took care of him. God sustained him. And what a blessing it is, congregation, if we can look back on our lives. I wonder if we did that last night. Did you look back on this year with holy astonishment? Did you look back on all the ways in which God cared for you, for your families, and for your children? Dear believer, did you spend some time reflecting on your amazing story? Reflecting on the fact that even though you may have many times thought that you would perish, David did too. Yet you did not perish. And why have you not perished? Because this shepherd will not lose one of his sheep. A shepherd in Israel, he would rather die than lose one of his sheep. No shepherd in Israel wanted to be known as a shepherd who lost one of his sheep. And this is infinitely more true. I can say with certainty, this shepherd will not lose one of his sheep. And dear believer, dear child of God, you are the living proof of that faithful care of this shepherd. And you see, then with that realization, David could face the future. David could say with confidence, I shall not want, I shall not lack anything. My shepherd, my God, will provide for all of our needs. Now, that does not mean that there will be no trials in our life, as we will see in a moment. But it does mean that whatever comes our way, we can know with certainty that whatever perplexities we may have to deal with, whatever the ups and downs of our life may be in the year 2023, this fact remains that Jehovah in Christ will continue to be your shepherd, and he will continue to care for your spiritual needs, and he will even continue to care for your physical needs. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from that them that walk uprightly. And of course, the good thing that the psalmist talks about is not what is good by our definition, but what is good by God's definition. Just like an earthly shepherd would do what would be good for his sheep, what would be in the sheep's best interest. And that we can be certain of as we face 2023, that this shepherd will guide and direct us in such a way that it will promote our spiritual good. All things, Paul says in Romans 8, all things will and shall work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, for we are predestined to be conformed unto his image. But we need to go on, because David looked back and he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's what a good shepherd would do. A good shepherd would always be looking for green pastures where his sheep could graze. He would always be on the lookout for places where his sheep could be refreshed by drinking water from still waters. And so David remembers those days when he would find those green pastures where his sheep could rest, where his sheep could lie down, where they could feed upon a fresh supply of grass. He remembers how he would then lead them to the still waters so that they could drink. And so an essential part of the shepherding care of the shepherd would be to make sure that his sheep were fed and that his sheep would be refreshed. And congregation, Christ, the great shepherd, is committed to the well-being of his sheep. He will see to it that we will be nourished in the year 2023. He will see to it that we will be refreshed in the year 2023. And how does he do that? By leading us in the green pasture of his word. And it's remarkable that David says, he maketh me to lie down in green grass. Christ is so committed to the spiritual well-being of his children that he will see to it that they will end up in those green pastures. He will lead us to those green pastures. That's why, of course, from our perspective, and that's where we have to drop the analogy, we have to make sure that every day we are in those pastures, that we are in the Word of God. Because when we are in the Word of God, those are the pastures that Christ has provided. And I can assure you that if we faithfully interact with the Word of God, you will experience in 2023 that your shepherd will feed you. He will nourish you with his Word. He will refresh your soul when you need it. Isaiah 49, verse 10 is an allusion to this. It says, "He that hath mercy on them shall lead them." Beautiful. "He that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of waters shall he guide them." Oh, a good shepherd in Israel, he wanted his sheep to be happy. He wanted his sheep to be well fed. He wanted his sheep to feel safe and secure. And so it is with Christ, infinitely more so. Oh, Christ cares about your spiritual well-being. Christ desires for you to experience the joy of his salvation. This is the Christ who said in John 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." In John 14, 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Romans 15, 30, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Christ does not want to deprive his sheep. Christ is not a hireling. Christ is not a shepherd who gives his sheep the bare minimum and who prefers his sheep to be struggling their whole life. No, that's not who this shepherd is. This shepherd wants his sheep to prosper. This shepherd wants his sheep to be well fed. He wants his sheep to be refreshed, especially through the ministry of word and sacrament. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake." It's interesting that the Dutch and German Bible actually say, "He revives my soul. He delights my soul." It all belongs together. What's beautiful about this word here in the King James is that the reality is that sheep don't always cooperate. Sheep are very, very foolish and stubborn creatures. It's not very flattering that the Bible refers to God's people as sheep. Sheep left to themselves will destroy themselves. Left to themselves, they will perish. Left to themselves, they will lose the way. Left to themselves, they would not survive. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. And one of the things that sheep do is they want to go their own way. They tend to go astray. And so David, at the very end of Psalm 119, when he, as it were, brings the whole psalm to conclusion, all he can say about himself is, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." But you see, this loving shepherd, he would see to it that if any of his sheep would stray, he would bring them back. He would not allow the sheep to stray. He loved his sheep so much that he would do whatever it would take to keep the sheep together, even if there would be that foolish young sheep who just did not get it. That foolish young sheep that would wander away time and time again. Then finally, the loving shepherd would break the legs of that sheep. You say, what a cruel thing. No, it was a loving thing. He would break the legs and he would set them right away. And then what do we do? What would he do? And for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he would carry that sheep on his shoulder. And by the time the legs were healed, that sheep had become so acquainted with the shepherd, had lived in such intimate fellowship with the shepherd, knew the voice of the shepherd so well, that that sheep would never, ever wander away again. And I can assure you, in 2023, this shepherd will not allow his sheep to stray. And if we do, he will bring us back. First, he does it gently. That's what the shepherd did. He would see a straying sheep. He would call out by his name, hoping that his voice alone would be enough to bring it back. And if that didn't work, then he would throw a stone at that sheep. If that didn't work, he would send the shepherd dog. And if that didn't work, he would break his legs. But he would restore that sheep. He would not allow that sheep to stray. Oh, so such is the commitment of this shepherd. In Hosea 14, verse 4, it says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Oh, the love of this shepherd. To be a sheep of this flock congregation is the only thing that really matters. You will never be happy. No matter what this world has to offer you, you will never be happy until this Christ is your shepherd. Until you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. The paths of righteousness. What does that mean? That means the path that is right for us. A path that agrees with God's plan. A path that agrees with God's agenda. That's that perfect way that David speaks of in Psalm 18. As for the Lord, his way is perfect. A way that perfectly agrees with the character of God. A way that perfectly agrees with the plan, with God's eternal decree and purpose. A way in which the shepherd aims for the well-being of the sheep. It may not always be a pathway that the sheep would like. But you see, the shepherd would know what the sheep didn't know. The shepherd would know what the pathway would be, what the correct pathway would be. Oh, God's way is perfect. It may at times seem very imperfect to us. And I do not know what those paths will be in 2023. But one thing I do know, dear believer, the path in which the shepherd will lead you will be a path of righteousness. It will be a path that perfectly agrees with God's sovereign purpose. It will be a path in which the shepherd aims for our spiritual good. It will be another year in which he makes our way perfect. That means he brings our way in line with his way. Those foolish sheep would sometimes want to go their way. In their foolishness, they would want the shepherd to go their way. And the shepherd would say, no, you must go my way. And he would restore them. He would bring them back. He would lead them in the paths of righteousness. And Christ does this for his name's sake. That's beautiful. Again, that's a sermon all by itself for his namesake. As I said earlier, the reputation of a shepherd was wrapped up in his sheep and how he cared for his sheep. For a shepherd, his name was at stake. His reputation was at stake. That's why David was so bold as to confront the lion and the bear that came after his sheep. And he killed him. He killed him for his name's sake. And so Christ will lead us in 2023. He will be committed to us. He will restore us. He will revive us. Not because we deserve it. No, there was no merit in us. There was no merit in these sheep. The shepherd did it for his name's sake. That beautiful name of Psalm 23, that name Jehovah, that name that embodies God's faithfulness, the truthfulness of his word. He is the I am that I am. For my namesake, I will care for my sheep. For my namesake, I will never, ever forsake them. Even, verse 4, even when we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Apparently, in order for the sheep to move from the lower grazing ground to the higher grazing ground in the summer, The shepherd had to lead his sheep through a very dark and dangerous valley. If ever the sheep needed their shepherd, it was then. If ever they were vulnerable, it was then. Because you have to realize that, especially also in Israel, in that region, the animals of prey were always following those flocks. They were always looking for a straying sheep. They were always looking for an opening to take one of the sheep down. And especially going through that valley would be fraught with danger. And David could remember many times in his life that he went through such dark valleys. And so this doesn't necessarily refer to death. Of course, that's the ultimate valley. But what this refers to is when God sovereignly leads us through dark and perplexing and fearful circumstances. And sooner or later, there will be times in the lives of God's children that God will sovereignly lead us in such ways. For the sheep, it was necessary. The shepherd knew his ultimate goal. The shepherd knew that he wanted to bring them to a place where he could generously provide for them. But there was only one way to get there: through the valley of the shadow of death. But David, when he looked back, he realized that even though there were moments when he went through that those difficult years when Saul chased him and when his own son wanted to kill him, there were moments where he thought his shepherd had forsaken him. But now when he looks back, he realized that even then, when he went to the shadow of death, even then he was with him. And so it was with the shepherd that would take care of his sheep. But you see, when the sheep went through those through that dark valley, they could not see the shepherd, and they could not even feel the shepherd. All they had to go by was the voice of the shepherd. A congregation that still, again, that's a subject all by itself. One of the lessons God wants to teach us when he leads us through such valleys, when he leads us in difficult and perplexing ways that are painful for the flesh, circumstances in which it appears as if the shepherd has forsaken us. And he wants to train us then to not pay attention to what I see, not pay attention to what I feel, but to pay attention to what he says, to pay attention to his voice. Isaiah 50 verse 10 talks about such circumstances. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Because you see, those sheep, as they went through that valley, it was not because they were disobedient. No, they were following their shepherd. Just like when Jesus commanded his disciples to go into the ship. They obeyed his command and they ended up in a storm. God has never promised his people a trouble-free life, an affliction-free life. God has never promised his people that his providence will only smile on them. On the contrary, God's word is clear that at times he will lead us in ways where it seems like his providence contradicts his promises. But David knew that at such a time, the shepherd does not forsake his sheep. The shepherd, if ever the shepherd is in tune with his sheep, if the shepherd is ever sensitive to the needs of his sheep, it is exactly then when they go through the valley of the shadow of death. Exactly then. And so he could say, again, by faith, he could say boldly, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David knew that God was with him even then, even when in his stupidity he lied about his identity and Ziklag was burned down and the shepherd should have said, I'm done with this sheep. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Even then, God had not forsaken him. And he says here, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Apparently, a shepherd in Israel, he would carry a club. in his one hand, and he would have a staff in his other hand. And they were the symbols of his shepherdly love and shepherdly care. He would use the club to ward off the enemies of prey. No doubt David used that club to kill the lion and the bear. And he would use his staff to guide the sheep, to nudge them on. And if they would stumble, he would put his crook around their neck and would help that sheep get back on his feet. And so the shepherd, he protected his sheep, and he helped his sheep when they fell and when they stumbled. He got them back on their feet. That's what our shepherd does too. We can know with certainty that in 2023, he will defend his sheep. He will defend his church. He will defend us against that relentless three-headed enemy, Satan, the world, and our own flesh. And when we stumble, and sometimes the sheep would stumble, when they went to the dark valley, the shepherd, he would find out and he would put his crook around the neck and enable that sheep to get back on its feet. Oh, he says, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And dear believer, that's your comfort for 2023. That no matter where your shepherd will lead you, his rod will be there to defend you against the enemies of your soul. And his rod will be there to pick you up if you stumble and put you back on your feet. Boys and girls, that shepherd went into the lion's den. When Daniel was cast into the lion's den as a faithful servant of God, because of his commitment to God, he ended up in the lion's den. But the shepherd was there, and he kept the mouth shut of those lions. That shepherd went into the oven, and the friends of Daniel refused to bow before Nebuchadnezzar and his statue. They would rather die than dishonor their God. And Christ came. Even Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I see someone like the Son of Man walking in that oven. He came. He was with them in the oven. Verse 5, we need to go on. We're running out of time. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Most commentators think that once they would reach those higher grazing grounds, there would be lush growth, but there would also be enemies. There would be vipers in the grass. And so what the shepherd would do is he would make sure that his sheep were safe even there. Often there would be lush growth. There would be an abundance of drink. But the enemies would be there as well. And then the shepherd, he would provide for his sheep even then. He would be on the lookout for the enemies. He would nourish them. He would feed them. He would give them overflowing water. He would anoint their heads with oil to make sure that they would not suffer from insect bites and from infection. And he would use oil for their healing. And he would fill their drinking troughs with water. It would just overflow. Again, a generous shepherd. A shepherd so committed to his sheep. A shepherd who wanted to make sure that his sheep had everything they needed. That's the point here of this particular psalm. And David is using here different analogies to get that point across. So let that encourage us. We think below what this shepherd really is. We often have such pitiful ideas about this shepherd. And we often live below our privileges. Dear believer, this shepherd loves you. This shepherd gave his life for you. This shepherd is committed to your well-being, your spiritual well-being in the first place. This shepherd will leave no stone unturned to care for you in the year 2023. That's why it's such a privilege To be able to say by faith, as we stand before this unknown year, which will be another veil of tears, I can assure you. A veil of tears. But to be able to say, as we face 2023, the Lord, this God, is my shepherd for Christ's sake, and therefore I shall not want. And finally, verse 6, surely. In other words, David says, I am absolutely sure of this. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's a neat story of a Scottish shepherd who had two sheepdogs. And the sheepdogs would be his assistants. And they would round up the stragglers. They would go after the straying sheep, and they would drive them back to the flock. They would drive them back to the shepherd. That was the purpose of those sheepdogs. And this Scottish shepherd was a God-fearing man. And you know what? He named his dogs Goodness and Mercy. Goodness and Mercy. And those two dogs, they would always bring the sheep back to the shepherd. And David looked back, he said, yes, that's the story of my life. The story of my life is that the goodness and the mercy of God have followed me all the way, all the days of my life. Even when I couldn't feel it, even when I didn't see it, his goodness and mercy, they have followed me. And because they have followed us, my dear, dear people, also as a congregation, we don't know what this year will bring for us. But God's goodness and mercy have been evidently part of the history of this church. And it will not change in 2023, because the chief shepherd of the sheep will not abandon you. I have to leave, but he will not abandon you. His goodness and mercy that have followed us until this hour, until this moment, that goodness and that mercy will follow us the rest of our lives, the rest of our journey. That word mercy is that wonderful Old Testament word, hesed, H-E-S-E-D. That's one of the key words of the Old Testament. That's the word that expresses God's loyalty to his people, his covenant faithfulness. That word is our guarantee that God will never go back on his word, that he will never fail to do what he promises to do. You can count on it. You can count on it, dear believer, that his word will prove to be true in 2023. You can count on it that his promises will not fail you in 2023. His mercy and his goodness will follow us also in the year 2023. I would like to call this final verse, this is, dear believer, this is your lifetime warranty. This is your lifetime warranty of his shepherding care for you. And he says finally, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ultimately, the shepherd would lead his sheep from those high grazing grounds. He would bring them back to the valley. He would bring them back home, because it would not be safe for them up there in the wintertime. He would bring them back home. And David thinks about that, how he always saw to it that his sheep had a homecoming. He would bring them back home. And if he was a good shepherd, he would not have lost a single one. And Jesus could say that boldly. He said, Father, of all those whom thou hast given me, I have lost none. And he will lose none in 2023. And dear believer, the ultimate goal of your journey is not to see how successful and how comfortable you can be in this life. Your life is but a short preparation to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the shepherd at times will lead us through deep ways, to wean us from this present life, to make us long for that homecoming, to make us long for that day that we shall be in the house of the Lord forever, to be where the shepherd is, to be with Christ forever. That's our real future. I said this before, quoting my dad, that God will not leave his children here 1 second longer than absolutely necessary. Not 1 second longer than absolutely necessary. Because Christ's ultimate goal, dear believer, is to bring you home. His ultimate goal is to bring you into the house of the Lord to dwell there forever. Oh, what a blessing it is to know if this Christ is my shepherd. That's the question I want to send you home with, my dear congregation. As you face 2023 with all of its uncertainties, and there are many frightening uncertainties. 2022 was not a very good year. There's no reason to believe that 2023 will be any better. In spite of all the New Year's resolutions, all the wishes, all the champagne bottles that were popped, the only way you can face 2023 is if you may know that this Christ is your shepherd. Do not rest until you may know that by grace. And remember, you cannot claim to be a sheep of that shepherd unless there is evidence in your life that you love that shepherd, that you obey that shepherd, that you are following that shepherd, that you are listening to the voice of that shepherd. Only then is there evidence that you are one of his sheep. And so with all of my love, my wish for you individually as a congregation, that you may experience this faithful care of the great shepherd and bishop of his church, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Because in 2023, it will remain true that Christ will be the shepherd of his sheep. And therefore, we shall not want. Amen.